I am so thankful for your presence. I know the Lord is thankful that you are here to worship him, to give him honor, and to give him praise. And that's what we're going to continue to do right now as we open up his holy word. That is the only thing that matters as we talk about this lesson this morning, is what does God's word say? This is the mind of God revealed. And as Paul wrote to the Romans in the first chapter in verse 16, it is the power of God unto salvation. This is the only way we find salvation, is through God's holy word. And so I hope as we go through this lesson this morning that you open up your Bibles, follow along in the scriptures that are read, and make sure that the things that I say come from God's holy word. Because that's all I'm interested in, is to preach it and preach it in the power that God deserves. Our theme this month, and our yearly theme is being imitators of Christ. And our theme this month is Jesus respected the scriptures. Can you think about how many problems would be avoided in the religious realm if man just respected the scriptures? That we gave God's word the reverence and awe and respect that it so richly deserves. So what I want to do this morning is look at Jesus' respect for the scriptures. Jesus showed in his life, him being our supreme example on how to live, how to respect God's word. We're going to look at four different things I want to talk about this morning. And the first is, he quoted scripture. Now, have you ever talked to someone and asked them why they believe what they believe? And they'll say, well, my preacher said this, or my dad said this, or my grandfather said this. What did Jesus do when he was tempted in Matthew, the fourth chapter, verses 3 through 10? Now, we have three specific temptations listed in the scriptures. We know that for 40 days, he was actually tempted by Satan. But we have these three specific ones. And let's begin in verse 3 of Matthew 4. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Of course, Satan already knew that he is the Son of God, but he's trying to tempt him. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, which is a quote from Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter and verse 3. Now, think of all the ways that Jesus could have responded to this statement by Satan. He challenged Jesus' deity. And yet, did Jesus go off in an angry rant? No. He quoted scripture. What does that tell us when we are tempted by Satan? How do we defeat him? We defeat him with the word of God. We don't defeat him with our own powers, our own devices, our own ideas. We defeat him with the word of God. Let's go on. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Once again, challenging Jesus. And Satan quotes scripture, but he's quoting it to try and urge Jesus to give in to this temptation. How does Jesus respond? Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. That's a quote from Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter and verse 16. So once again, how did he handle this second temptation? Remember, Jesus is our perfect high priest because he went through everything that we go through. So this truly was a temptation to Jesus. Sometimes I think man tries to minimize that because Jesus is the Son of God, but he was tempted. But how did he respond? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And that's from Deuteronomy 6, verses 13 through 15. And we see the devil left him. So how do we handle temptation? Well, we go to the Word of God. We may not say the words out loud like Jesus did to Satan, but we think about it in our minds. Well, what does God's Word say that I'm supposed to do in this situation? And then we have the strength, if we believe and trust in God, that we can overcome that temptation. But secondly, turn with me to Luke, the fourth chapter, verses 18 through 21. Jesus was at home in Nazareth. Remember, that's where he grew up. And he's going to show them some things about who he is, if they just paid attention, by quoting Scripture. And in verse 18, it says, let's go back to verse 17. And when he was handed the book, that he was in the synagogue at this time, of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Well, we know, having already read the rest of the verses, we know who he's talking about. But the thing is, he was prophesying about someone. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and said, okay, who's he talking about here? And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So he quoted scripture to identify who he is. Because Isaiah prophesied about the fact that this one was going to come and preach good tidings to heal the brokenhearted. Of course, the brokenhearted being those that are in sin. And he says, it's fulfilled today. Turn with me also to John the 13th chapter, verses 18 through 20. This is another prophecy that had been made, and this one was particularly, as Brother Jeff read, as we were talking about the Lord's Supper, about the one who is going to betray our Lord. And in verse 18 it says, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. And that's from Psalms, the 41st chapter, and verse 9. We understand that that individual was Judas. Judas was the one that betrayed Jesus. Once again, he's giving more information to his apostles so that when this event occurs, they're going to have more faith, more understanding. Well, we also have in Matthew the 21st chapter, Jesus quoting Scripture. And he's going to talk again about who he is. Once again, he's revealing himself to those around him by quoting Scripture. And in verse 42 through 44, it says, Jesus said to them, have you never read in the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. He's talking about the Jewish brethren at this time. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. And of course, what do we know that this is talking about from Psalms, the 118th chapter, verses 22 through 23? It's the fact that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He was rejected by the Jews, and he became the chief cornerstone that the foundation of the church was built upon. Once again, he was revealing himself to the Jews at this time, but they weren't paying attention, because they had in their mind what they wanted the Messiah to be. But also in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, just a page over, in verse 41 through 46, While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. And this was a quote from Psalms 110, verse 1, talking about the fact that Jesus had all authority because he was going to sit at the right hand of Almighty God. He quoted Scripture to teach about himself. We quote Scripture today to teach others about him and what the plan is of the whole Word of God. It is about the salvation of man. The more Scripture we can quote and use properly, now, there's a lot of people that will quote Scripture out in the religious world, but they will twist it into their own imagination. But when we use the Scriptures the way God intended for it, and we quote Scriptures, there's power there. And we can answer questions. And we can say, it's not something I came up with. This is what's in God's Word. We need to have that respect for the Scriptures. It is the mind of God, and we better become better knowledgeable about it. And that's on each of us. Every one of us has that responsibility, that we know the Scriptures better each day of our lives, so that we can teach others, just as our Lord taught those around him. But secondly, by Jesus showing respect for the Scriptures, he understood that the Scriptures are the will of the Father. This was God's plan to save man, and he understood that. And by doing the Father's will, he was showing that respect for the gospel. Turn with me, if you would, to John the 7th chapter, verses 16 through 19. Jesus made this very clear that his purpose on this earth was not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. Beginning in verse 16 of John 7, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." Once again, why he quoted Scripture. "He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and that none of you keeps the law? Why do you seek to kill me?" He went back to the Scriptures. He said, Moses gave you the law, and yet you're not keeping it. The law is the will of the Father. That's what he wants. And he says, "My doctrine is not mine, but that of the Father's." John 4, verse 34. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work." What was his work? To establish the kingdom. To bring about that reconciliation, as we've talked about in the book of Colossians, between Jew and Gentile. That all men, under the same law, can be saved. That was Jesus' work. To fulfill the old law and bring about the new law. He said that was his food. That's what kept him going spiritually. John the 5th chapter in verse 30. Jesus says, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." You see the correlation between Jesus and us if we're following and being imitators of him? Our purpose is to do the Father's will. It's not to do what we want. It's to carry out the Father's will. And Jesus gave us that perfect example. John the 6th chapter, verses 38 through 39. Once again, we talk about if the Bible repeats something over and over, what does that tell us? It must be pretty important to God that we understand these concepts. John 6, verses 38 through 40, or 39, I'm sorry. "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Once again, when he came down from heaven, he lived as a man, he was tempted like men, and yet he focused on the will of the Father that we read of in the Scriptures. Matthew, the 26th chapter, in verse 42, as Jesus was in that Garden of Gethsemane, and he's going to his Father and begging him, if there's some way that his will can be accomplished without him going through this crucifixion, please, Father, let it happen. And verse 42, and again a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And that's the way we have to look at our lives here on this earth. We may want certain things to happen, but it's only the Father's will that matters. And we keep that focus, we can't go wrong. John 12, verses 48 through 50. Once again, Jesus talking about the fact that he has not spoken. His words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me and gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Jesus said, God Almighty told me what I'm supposed to say. And that's what I'm telling you. When we quote Scripture, and rightly divided as we should, that is exactly what we're doing today. We're giving the will of our Father to mankind, to those around us. Not only that, but reminding us of our responsibilities to God. But third, he fulfilled Scripture. You know, he talked about the fact that, we've already talked about that he had mentioned that he was fulfilling Scripture in their midst when he was in Nazareth. But think about the fact that by him fulfilling Scripture, he was fulfilling that word, those prophecies that have been mentioned, telling about the Messiah, telling about what he was going to do for mankind. Now, imagine all the prophecies that were mentioned about Jesus. He fulfilled every one of them. What does that tell you about his focus and respect for the Scriptures? Well, first of all, he didn't want to make his Father a liar, did he? Because God cannot lie. And if Jesus had not fulfilled those prophecies, God would have been a liar and Jesus would have been a liar. He'd been a fraud. But no, he fulfilled every one. In Matthew, the 3rd chapter, in verse 15, when he asked John the Baptist to baptize him. Now, had Jesus committed any sin? No. But he said, thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, what was Jesus giving us? He was giving us an example, right? We understand that all men have sinned. Romans 3:23. We know that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Because all of us have sinned. But Jesus had not. But yet, to give us the example and to fulfill all righteousness, he was baptized. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verses 17 through 20. Jesus said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Once again, we're talking about the law of Moses. He was not trying to destroy it. He was not trying to say that it wasn't important. It did not have a purpose, because it did. It brought him, mankind up to the time of the Messiah, the one that would give us that new law. He says, assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of these least of these commandments and teaches even so, so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So once again, what did Jesus emphasize? The Scriptures were going to be fulfilled. Had Jesus not had the respect for God or the scriptures, he would have just kind of let, you know, well, do I really have to go through all these different ones? Because you remember, they were very specific. And yet Jesus went through and fulfilled all. In Matthew 26, chapter verses 53 and 54, notice what is said here. Remember, Judas has betrayed our Lord. They've come out against him with this mob. And Jesus tells his apostles to not stretch out the sword and try and fight physically. And in verses 53 and 54, he says, "Or do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" Well, what scriptures are we talking about? We're talking about from Isaiah the 53rd chapter. Look at all that the things that were prophesied about what Jesus was going to have to go through. Had Jesus had his servants fight, he would not have fulfilled those prophecies. Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He kept silent. He allowed them to do the things that were done to him. And he said, how can I fulfill all these things if you go about trying to fight this mob with swords? Of course, we understand that was Peter that had drawn his sword. He was misguided at that point, but he understood later. But then also, turn with me to John the 19th chapter, verses 28 and 29. After this, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Jesus knew at this point, he was on the cross, and he knew that he had fulfilled everything that had been prophesied about him. He said, "I thirst." And we know in verse 30, he says, "It is finished." His respect for the scriptures and respect for his Father caused him to go through all those things for you and for I. And in Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 44, when Jesus was about to be ascended into heaven, the apostles were told that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. They didn't understand until that point why Jesus went through all this. It was because he had to fulfill all things. Well, now as we think about putting that into practice in our own lives, we must also respect the scriptures. If we don't have the authority from God's word for something, we better be stopping doing it. It's that simple. God will hold us accountable for not having that respect for his word. He always has held people accountable for that. In Acts, the 20th chapter, and verse 22, it says, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." We've been talking about unification in the book of Colossians, in that letter. How we were all joined together as one in Christ. The word of God is able to build us up. When we show respect for it, it's going to have the proper effect on us. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, in verse 15. It's not just enough to quote scripture. It's not just enough to know what scripture is. But we have to rightly divide the word of truth. That means that we pay close attention to what is said, and we don't make it sound the way we want to make it sound. And once again, the easiest way to keep from messing up here is to keep it in context. We read the verses before something, we read the verses after something, and you can tell what the context of that verse is. Sadly, we see people today in the religious world, they'll take one verse here, one verse there, one verse here, and another verse there, and they come up with all kinds of things that they say is what God wants. But we have to rightly divide the word of truth. That means we have to study. We have to know the scriptures. So that when we hear false doctrine, we can say, oh, wait a second, that's not what the Bible says. And so therefore, we know it's not right. James 1, chapter verse 21. We are to receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save our souls. And that's what Jesus understood. The scriptures and the kingdom that he was going to bring about was going to save man's soul, which is the whole purpose of the Bible. It was God's plan to save man. 2 Timothy 3, chapter verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, it's from the mind of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly equipped for all good works. If we want to be pleasing to God, it's going to be from God's word. We're going to be doing those things and those things only. And then Paul, in his letter to the Galatians in verse chapter, how important it is to not just listen to some man, but only the scriptures. He says, even if we or an angel from heaven preach anything to you than what we have preached, let him be accursed. He was an apostle of God. But he said, if I come back to you and I start telling you something different than what I've already said, don't listen to me. And therefore, we can know whether someone is teaching the truth by doing what? We open up the word. We examine what that person is saying according to God's word and God's word alone. And we will know whether or not that person is teaching the truth. Jesus had respect for the scriptures. He quoted scripture. He understood that they were the will of the Father to save man. He fulfilled scripture. And we must also respect the scriptures today. And if we do that, we can be assured that we've got that home in heaven waiting for us. May we strive each day of our lives to do just that. With God, it's either or. Either we're going to obey his will or we're not. And we find his will written out for us in clear language in his word. This morning, we'd like to offer the Lord's invitation. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But it's our choice whether we come to repentance. Each of us make that choice. And this morning, if there is something that the Lord will allow us to help you with in a spiritual nature, all of us are rooting for each other. That's what is so beautiful about the church. We're family. We root for each other. We want each other to be in heaven. We want to be there praising God for throughout all of eternity. And if there's something we can do to help you in that way, we'd ask you to come as we stand and sing.
I have decided to follow.
Follow Jesus.